question arose recently where a person had lived in a multi-family dwelling and the landlord had rented it to himself. He was living in one of the apartments, and one of the other apartments that he was renting out, the person in the dira, person in the apartment, was suspected that they had contracted a very dangerous disease. Perhaps it was Ebola. He was in the airport, and he came in contact with people from Western Africa. And the landlord came to him, and he said, "Listen, with such an understanding, about anybody understands, I never would have rented it to you. Had I known that you're going to get Ebola or some other highly contagious disease, there's an umdana, there's an understanding. Aldas Kain, I never rented it to you, and therefore I want you to leave." So really this question came up around 500 years ago by the Ramah. In the time of the Ramah, there was, seemed to have been a plague, and the landlord had rented a house, an attached house, to a family, and the wife came down with some type of plague. And the landlord said, "Get out. I'm sorry. Shalai Aldas Kain, I never rented to you Aldas Kain." And the Ramah says, this question is a Mefurish Gemara. It's a Gemara Mefurishes. The Gemara says, on Daf Kuf Aleph Amid Beis, there's a landlord who rented the house to a tenant. It says, Pshita Zedavar Poshit, Nafalei Beisa. If the landlord's house falls down, Amalei, the landlord, could say to the tenant, Oy Adifis Mino, you know better than me. And therefore, if it's a choice between me sleeping in the street or you sleeping in the street, you sleep in the street, I don't have to sleep in the street. However, Rashi explains, you know better than me. Since the time of the rental has ended, he could chase him out. The halacha is that when you rent a house from somebody, if it's in the summertime, and you rent without, when you rent a house to somebody, so you have to notify them that you're kicking them out. In the summertime, you give them 30 days notice. In the winter, you have to let them remain there over the winter. But that's a takonas chachamim, that he has an additional 30 days, or he has over the winter. So that takona, that I have to let you stay there, that I don't have to abide by that takona in a case when it's understood that I should sleep in the street and you should sleep in the house, that can't be. But toich zmanai, while it's still within the term of the lease, even though I'm going to have to sleep in the street, the halacha is that I can't kick him out, according to Rashi. The Rosh also holds this way, because the Rosh says in Shuvos, in Klal Aleph Simin Vav, he says that if a person, this that the Gemara says, Loyadifis minoi, that you know better than me, that's only if I rent it to you stam, without a term of the lease, per month. But if I rent it to you for a zman, so then, toich hazman, I can't kick you out, even though it means I'm going to have to sleep in the street. Therefore, this says the Ramah. So what are you worried about? You're worried that you're going to catch Ebola from your tenant. Okay, so you have an option. Move somewhere else. He should move out and you should stay in. No, he has a lease. And as long as the lease is in effect, I can't kick you out. Although it would seem to be a Mefurisha, Rashi and Rosh, the Goyin claims, the Goyin Sechensu, a Taisis and Afkuf Beisamid Beis. The Gemara speaks about if a person is believed, who's believed to say the landlord said I paid the rent? The tenant says I paid the rent, and the landlord says you didn't pay the rent. So the Gemara makes a distinction if it's Toich Hazman or La'achar Hazman, meaning, for example, you pay by the month. In the time of the Gemara, Ein Shchiris Mishalamis El L'Besayf, you would pay the rent at the end of the month. So let's say it's the middle of the month, and the landlord says, you didn't pay me yet, and the tenant said, you paid already. So it says as follows, if it's Toich HaChoydish, if it's the middle of the Zman, whatever the Zman was, the landlord is believed to say, you didn't pay yet. If the dispute happened after the Zman, the tenant is believed to say, I paid you already. So the Gemara brings a raya from the case of Pidyon HaBen, that if it's within the 30 days of the new child, so the Kohen is believed to say he didn't pay yet. Whereas after 30 days, he's believed to say that he paid already. So Taisus wants to know, the Kohen, a chalukah between the Kohen and the father of the child. So Taisus wants to know, Abaye says, in the first parak of Baba Basra, that a person of an inish depar b'toich zmanai. It's normal for a person to pay within before the debt is due. So Taisus wants to know, this is Gemara going to shtim like Abaye? So Taisus says there's a distinction. And he says that even though a person will pay a debt, according to Abaye, before the time comes, by pidyon haben it's different. Because a person understands, God forbid the child may die, in which case he doesn't really have to pay the money. If you borrow $1,000, you owe $1,000. Stay on your head, spit one nickels, you're going to have to pay $1,000. But if the child dies within 30 days, you're not going to have to pay. Alternately, he says that if the kohen eats of the money, we hold that even if you give the money before 30 days, it works, as long as the kohen still has the money after 30 days. But if the kohen went and spent the money, so then the ben won't be podu. He may owe you the money, but the ben is not podu. You're going to have to be paid to his son again. And therefore, a person won't be paid to his son, Tayyus Manai. Said Taisvis, what about Schiris Batim? It's the same thing. Why? Because a person is not going to pay early because he's scared that maybe the house that he's renting will fall down, in which case he wasted the money and he's going to have to chase the landlord for the money. Or, Yibo Beso Shel Maskir Atzma, the landlord's house may fall down, V'yotzienai, and the landlord will chase him out. V'yayim de'omalei, lo'adivis mino, you're no better than me. The same way I could... I don't have to sleep in the street. You could sleep in the street. I could chase you out. Now, Taisus is talking Taich Zmana in the middle of the Zman. So we see from Taisus that even though it's Schiris Batim, even though he rented the house, and there's a Zman for the Schiris, nonetheless, since it's within the Zman of the Schiris, he can't kick him out. Even though it's Taich Zman, he could kick him out. He has the right to kick him out because the landlord could say to the tenant, "Lo adufis minoy." In which case, it comes out there's a machloikis between Rashi and the Rosh on one side and Taisus on the other side. If there's a zman for the schiris, there's a time, you know, there's a lease. According to Rashi and the Rosh, you can't abrogate the lease, even though the house falls down, or in our case, in the case where the tenant became ill and the landlord wants to kick him out, he can't be mevatel the lease because You have a kinyan. Whereas Taisus would hold that if there's something which is very clear that I never would have, I don't mean to rent it to you if you're going to get sick and you're going to cause me to get sick or I'm going to have to sleep in the street or my house fell down, then he could be mevatel the lease. Now, it is possible to say, yeah, sorry.
It makes no difference how long he's been there or this is just before that.
It makes no difference. The Ramah actually says in his tshuva that even if he didn't move in yet, but the very fact that he signed the lease or whatever would bind the parties, which creates a kinyan, wherever you happen to live, he says, Setumta, if the minigamokan is that you create a lease by shaking hands. Whatever it is that creates the lease, that's a kinyan and you can't be mevat of the lease. And the Ramah assumes, like Rashi and the Rosh, there's no way to get out of it as long as the lease is still, as long as it's within the term of the lease. Now, it is possible to say that there is a very famous machloikis between Taisus on the one hand and the other Rishonim on the other hand. There's a Gemara in Daf Nun Vav, I believe, in Bab Metzia, which talks about the din of Oino'o. If a person overcharges or undercharges more than a sixth, so it's Mevatel the Mekach, it nullifies the Mekach. And the Gemara wants to know, at least by Metaltalin, if you say that there's a din of Oino'o by Metatl, if I rent you my car and I overcharge you or I severely undercharge you, could I be mevatel the mekach? Could I say, hey, you cheated me? So the Gemara says, schiris liyoyme memkerhu. If you rental for the day is a purchase, you made a kinyan. The kinyan is done and therefore it has the same din of a mecher of a sale. On the other hand, there's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah daf tesvava medalef, and the Gemara talks over there about, let's say you have a kohen who owns a Yisrael who owns a cow. Yisrael owns a cow and he rents it to a kohen. Now the halacha is a kohen is allowed to feed his animal truma if it's kashine truma. It's not really people food, but it's people could eat it b'di'evet. It's called kashine truma, a certain type of truma. So the halacha is you could feed to your kohen. A kohen is allowed to feed his animals kashine truma because it's kinyan kaspa. It belongs to him. So the Gemara says, how about if a kohen rents a cow from a Yisrael? Could he feed it kashine chuma or can't he feed it kashine chuma? Is it considered kinyan kaspa? The Gemara says, no. Schiris liyoyme, you rented it. It's lav kinyanu. You don't own it. It's a rental. It's nothing more than a rental. The Gemara also says that if a yid rents a house to a guy, that you have to be have a problem renting it because the guy is going to take his avodah zarah into the house. And the Torah says, you're not supposed to bring avodah zarah into your house. And therefore, even though, and the Gemara says, if you say that Schiris Liyame is not a memkar, it doesn't belong to the guy, so you can't rent it to a guy, because the guy will bring avodah zarah into the house. So Taisus asks the Stira, all the Rishonim ask the Stira, is Schiris considered a Kenyan, or Schiris is not considered a Kenyan? So Taisus says, nah, of course Schiris is not a Kenyan. It's nothing more than an obligation. I obligated myself to provide you with a house. So what does the Gemara say? Schiris Liyame Memku? It learns it out of an extra pasuk by Oina that is considered a mecher as far as Oina is concerned. But it's not really a Kenyan. The other Rishonim, the Rajman, other Rishonim say, no. Schiris Liyame is a memker. It's really a Kenyan. But it's a Kenyan. It's a Kenyan Paris. It's a Kenyan for usage. But it's not a Kenyan Aguf. The difference is, that means you don't own the actual item, and therefore you can't call it Kenyan Kasboy. As far as a Kohen feeding this cow, Truma, you can't say it's Kenyan Kasboy, that it's his, the actual cow, but during the Zman of the Schirus, of course, it's mine for all intents and purposes. I have a temporary Kenyan on the item. The same thing as far as Lo Sovi Al Toch Pesecha, that you can't bring to your house. It's not called the Goy's house just because he rented it. But he does have a Kenyan of sorts. It's a Kenyan aguf leperis, if you want to call it that. In other words, I have a Kenyan as far as the peris are concerned.
What are the peris?
You have no Kenyan in the aguf itself, just in the peris.
According to, possibly, you have to see exactly the lashon of the Rashba. He doesn't, you'll take a look in the Rashba, he doesn't commit himself whether it's considered a Kenyan aguf leperis or it's just a Kenyan peris. He says that it's a Kenyan that you have to provide me with ishtamshes. Paris means what I'm able to pull out of that. When I'm able to live in the house, that's the Paris of the house. When I'm allowed to plow with the cow, that's the Paris of the cow. Okay? Now, if according to this, it's possible to say that Tais is going with Shitasai. In other words, if you hold Schiris Liyame Memkerhu, that means it's a Kenyan and there's no backsies. It's a, for the time being, I have a full-fledged Kenyan on the matter. And therefore, the fact that you say, yeah, but under such conditions, I never meant to rent it to you. That's just too bad. I sold you my house, and after I sold you my house, something came up, and I need my house. That's just too bad. There's no backsies once the Kenyan is finished. Whereas, according to Taisvis, it's all you have is a obligation to provide you with a house, but we have an ongoing relationship, and that ongoing relationship could be abrogated under the right conditions. If I could say, well, under such conditions, it's too much for me. Now, there's a Gemara a little bit further that says as follows: Hahu Gavra is again on Kuf Beis on a base in Bar Mitzia. Kuf, one second. Sorry, Kuf Aleph on a base. It says as follows: Hahu Gavra Dezav and Arba Dechamra. A person purchased a boatload of wine. He couldn't find a place to place his wine. He told a certain lady, "Islach duchta laguri, do you have a place to rent it to me? So I could put my wine." She said, "No, I have no place for your wine." Also, he went. Kitcha, he was mekadisher. He gave her a place. She gave him a place to put the wine. Now, there's a shaila in the paiskim if it means she rented him the place or she lent him the place. Exactly what it was, you'll take a look. It's not so clear. But certainly there was a relationship at this point that she gave him, whether it was for money or it was for free, she gave him this place to put the wine. Also, Lebese, he went home, Kazulagita, and he wrote her a get, shuttle, and he sent it to her. He said, "Okay, I got my place for the wine, and now have a good life." Ozla, she went. Agra, shikuloi, minei ubei. She went and she sold some of the fruit. And she took the money from the fruit, and she hired workers, schleppers, afite, and she threw the stuff out of his house, out of her house. Va'ayis ve'bishvila, and she put it in the road. Amar Avuna be'edim Yavishua, kasha asa kenyi asa loy, gumula yasha b'roisha. That's how he behaves. He gets what he deserves, and she could throw him out. And the Gemara quantifies. It says, "Lo mi boy chotzer dulei kaima la'agra." It not only if this was a chotzer, which was not waiting to be rented out. Even a chatzer. Now, there's two types of chatzerim. There's places that people usually usual and customarily, they do rent out. You have a hotel room, you have a house that's up for rent. Or sometimes you have a place, you don't rent it, and somebody came and said, oh, please, 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 okay, I'll rent it to you. So it's not considered kaima la'ag, it's not considered it's standing to be rented. And so the Gemara says, no, it makes no difference. Whether this was a place that's usually rented out, or it's a place that's not usually rented out, I feel if it's usually kaima la'ag, she could say to him, to anybody else, I would gladly rent this. But to you, I'm not interested in renting it. The dumbest a lie, because you're compared to me, ki arya arva. You're like a lion waiting in ambush. You play such shtick with me. You tell me you're getting married. Ki'ilu, you want to be my husband. And then you just, you're using me. I'm sorry, get out of here. Not interested. Now, on this halacha, the Nemukah Yosef says, this halacha that she could throw him out when it came out that he was a are arvia, he was a skunk, that's only true if she told him to begin with that she had no intention to rent out this property. She said, I'm not renting you the property. He asked, could I rent out the property? No, I'm not interested in renting it. And then, the only reason she rented it to him is because he was Mekadisha. But let's say one person would go to somebody else and rents a property from somebody. There was no prior discussion. And then, at the time, they were friends. And then, a week later, they became embroiled in a tremendous machlokes. So you can't throw them out. How are you talking? You made a kenyan. There's no backseat. It's not a game. And that's brought in the Ramah, in Shulchan Aruch, in Simin, Shin Yud Beis, Sif, Tes. The Ramah says as follows. The chain, im sakre lizman kotzav, he rented it for a fixed time. Somebody rented a house to his friend. And he were good friends with him. Then he became his enemy. He cannot throw him out of the house. But if initially he told him, he's not renting it to him. Only reason I'm renting it to you is because you're my friend. I wouldn't rent it to just anybody. You're my friend, I'm renting it to you. Venasa soinoi, and then he became his enemy, yocholoitzioi. He's able to throw him out. So there's a distinction whether he rented to, it happened to be they were friends, and then they became enemies, he can't throw him out. But if he mentioned, you know, I'm renting this to you because you're my friend, and then he became his enemy, then he could throw him out.
Is that Shalosh and Yom, or is this immediately?
Okay, so that's a fair question. Is there a notification? Is there going to be a notification period or not? I can't answer you. Would he be obligated to notify him? I'm giving you 30 days, or could throw him out on his head that very day? We're going to see. I would vote. He could probably throw him out that day, based on what we're going to say. But I'm not willing to sign on it quite yet. We're going to try to answer that also. Okay? We're going to try to answer that also. Slowly. The Ketzai starts off, and he says that the Ketzai is in Simin Reish, Shin Yud Tes, Sivkot Nalef. He says like this, I don't understand. He told him he's his friend, and so I'm renting it to you. Then he became his enemy, he could throw him out. He says, we have a rule that you need a tanai. You have to make a condition. I'm only renting it to you on the condition that you're my friend. If you become my enemy, I'm going to throw you out. So you made a tanai, you made a condition. But stam, because I mentioned in passing, oh, you know, you're some my good friend. Ah, you became my enemy, get out. What kind of business is this? And he says, he goes and he says, he brings, there's Taisus in Ksuvis and Daf Tzadik Zayin Amid Aleph. There's a Taisus in Kedushin Mem Tes Amid Aleph, Amid Beis, that says as follows. There's a Gemara that says there's a person who sold his house, his land, Adai to the Mesach the Eretz Yisrael. He was planning to move to Eretz Yisrael. And in the end, he couldn't move. So the Gemara says, under certain conditions, he could be mevatalit. As long as he wasn't able to go, he could be mevatal the mecher. Because a person wouldn't sell. He was obviously only selling because he was planning to go to Eretz Yisrael. So Taisus asks, what are you talking about? So it's Dvarim Shevaleiv. He didn't make a tanai. If you don't make a condition, it doesn't work. Seems so. Taisus says as follows: there are certain things which require a tanai. You need a full-fledged condition. If you say the condition, it works. If you don't say, what is that? Something, if I go, I sold you my car. Wonderful. And then a week later, I said, you know, I really need it. My wife just got a job where I didn't realize. My wife needs the car. We have charad. We want the car back. Sorry. Dvarim shebelev ein dvarim. You didn't say anything. It's worthless. And even if I mentioned that I'm very happy to get rid of this car because it's just a pain in the neck. Too bad. You didn't make a condition. It doesn't work. Then there are things that people wouldn't do. It's called is a umdin ktsas. It's clear that people wouldn't do this without a person wouldn't do this unless they had some kind of necessity for this. So, for example, who's going to sell their property unless their das is to go to Eretz Yisrael? This is in the time of Chazal, people didn't sell real estate. Maybe even today, people don't sell real estate unless they have some kind of urgent need to sell it. Metalfalin people, things come and go, but land, that was something people wouldn't sell. So it's enough, Tysus says, that you mentioned the fact you're planning to move to Eretz Yisrael. That creates a Tanai, as it were. You don't need to actually make a Tanai. And then there's a third level, where things are so obvious that anybody could, without batting an eyelash, know that he's only doing it under such conditions. It's Dvarim Shebelev Lev Kol Adam, something that everybody understands on their own, and you don't need to even mention it at the time of the Mecher. So the Ktzai says, over here, the person is renting out his house. People rent out houses, even not to people who they like. Now, a lot of people, they have tenants they can't stand, but they want to make money and they rent it out. It's not something that, well, everybody understands. You would have only rented it because he's your friend. So he says, the fact that you mentioned he's your friend, that's no reason to be mevatel lemecher, just because he becomes your enemy. And therefore, the Ktzai says, if the guy already has a kinyan and is living there, it's very hard for him to throw the guy out just because he became his enemy. The Ktzai says that even though the Mechaber Paskin is this way, he can't imagine if it came to his bezdin, he wouldn't throw the guy out. Now in this, the Nesivus responds back in Shin Yud Beis, and he says the Pshat, as far as he's concerned, is very simple. The case of the Shulchan Aruch and the case of the Nukhi Yosef is speaking where the person told him clearly, I do not want to rent out my house. So even though lots of people rent out houses, but he said, I'm not interested in renting out the house. So you're not interested in renting out the house. In other words, he says, it's a chotzer deloy kaim al agar. It's an apartment or a home that's not meant for renting. So now, that's enough. That's already considered that you mentioned, in other words, something which is not kaim al agar, it's enough. That's already an umdana that you're not interested in renting it. And the fact that you mentioned that you're only renting it because you're his friend, that creates an umdana together with the fact that you mentioned it, and you can be mevatel the schiris. But in the event that you have a rental property, it's up for rent, a big sign in front that says for rent, and a guy who's your good friend comes and says, could I rent your house? Of course, you're my great friend. And then 2 weeks later, they get in a terrible fight. Can't throw him out, because the chatzu was kaim al agra. Now the problem is that the Gemara says over here that it makes no difference whether it was kaim al agra or it was lo kaim al agra. So there's two ways to go with this. I would have said that you're 100% right, that it's two separate halachas. One halacha is when you're dealing with normal rental, the normal world of rental. In the normal world of rental, there's kaim al agra, there's lo kaim al agra. Kaim al agra, it's not a gilui das doesn't help. You need a tanai. And lo kaim al agra, if it's not normally rented, then it's enough a gilui das. This Gemara is a whole other story. It was a premeditated act of murder on his part. So here we could kasha us ken yasaloi. We're going to do to him what he tried. What he tried pulling a fast one on her. We're going to do. But it's a special halacha where somebody is clearly engaged in subterfuge and other forms of nasty behavior. That's how I would have learned the Gemara. The problem is that the Nesivus himself doesn't say that. The Nesivus himself says, and the same halacha applies in this case of the lady. It's only if it's only because there's an umdana that she wouldn't have rented it out. And what you have to say is, even though it is, the Gemara says, even if it's kaim ala agra, but in the story, when he asked her, could I rent it from you? She told him no. which is what the Namukah Yosef says, it's Davka where he told her that she told him that I'm not interested in renting it to you. So it's true. It is a rental property, absolutely, and therefore it should be considered Kaimel Agra, and the fact that you became his enemy is not enough to cause a difference. But here, for some reason, she didn't like him. It's just she rented it to anybody else. This guy she didn't like. She didn't want to rent it to him, or maybe she was hoping he would marry her. I don't know what the point there is. But she told him clearly, I'm not interested in renting it to you. Therefore, even though it's Kaimel Agra, it's enough to Giloy Das that she said, I'm not interested, except for the fact that he married her. That's what you have to say according to the Nesivos. Now, just parenthetically, it would come out, you know, all the time we have people renting out houses and the tenant becomes a major pain in the neck for the landlord. Or the other way, the landlord becomes a major pain in the neck for the tenant. One lives upstairs, one lives downstairs. Sometimes the landlord upstairs, sometimes the landlord downstairs. And his kids wake up 6 o'clock in the morning and they bang on the floor and he says, they're screaming and they're shouting. And how come you don't put your kids to sleep? And what do you mean? It's 9 o'clock. No, 9 o'clock in the morning is a normal time. Yeah, Shabbos afternoon. They're busy fighting back and forth, cats and dogs. And that's not enough to be mevatel the mecher. People, unless you may, even if you say you can't make a lot of noise, okay, so I won't make a lot of noise. I'll try to control my kids. But as long as it was a rental property, which Kaima La'agra, and they have a normal business relationship, so the fact that something came up that we can't get along, or it's not a, in and of itself, not a reason to nullify a contract. We have a contract. If I have to be a mensch, I have to be a mensch. If you have to be a mensch, you have to be a mensch. But that doesn't, that's not mevatel the actual contract. Now,
what if the original sign said, come for no children? And you let the people in with kids because he said they'll be quiet.
The landlord has no children?
No, the tent.
I understand. The landlord has no children?
The landlord has children.
Then he knows that if you're letting the kids in, they're going to make noise. It's... I'll let in your dog, but he won't bark. I mean, what? Doesn't go. Now, we have a Gemara in Ksuvis and Daf Kuf Gimel Amid Beis. And the Gemara says as follows. Sorry, Kuf Gimel Amid Aleph. Hahuk Avra Da'igele Rechayel Chavre. There was a man, he had a mill, which ground wheat, and he rented it to his friend. But the rental payment was not in cash. He didn't say, pay me $500 a month cash. The rental payment was that the tenant, as it were, who's renting it, is going to grind the landlord's grain. That was the deal. In lieu of cash, he's going to grind the landlord's grain. L'soif yaser, the landlord became wealthy. V'zavin rechaya v'chamer, he brought his own, he bought another mill with a donkey. Amalei, so the landlord said to the tenant, ad ha'idna ha'vitachinu na'gabach, till now I would grind my grain in your house. In my mill that you're renting, hash to have li agra. Now I don't need any more ground grain. I have my own ground grain. Please pay me cash. Amalei mitcha tchaninoach. Listen, I don't have cash. I'll grind your grain. That was the deal. Is the deal? No backsies. So Ravina lemeimar hain masisam lo yamishnayim harei onu zonan oisa keechad. What happened was, there was a lady. She got married. She made up with her husband that she had a child from a previous marriage. She made up that the husband is going to support her daughter for 5 years. She got divorced from the second husband, and then she married a third husband. And she made up with this husband that he's going to support the daughter for 5 years. Now, the girl doesn't have two stomachs, like the Gemara says, and she can't eat double food. And therefore, the Mishnah says that one of them feeds, one of them provides with food, and the other one provides cash. So too in our Gemara, he doesn't grind his grain twice. You know, it's ground already. What's he going to grind the grain a second time? So therefore, Ravina said, the same way you could make the one of the husbands pay cash, so too we're going to settle in cash, and he's going to pay cash for the rental. So Amalei Rav Avira, midami hasam chad kreisa isla, tata kreisa lesla. She only has one stomach, she can only eat one time, and therefore there's no, she has a definite loss, the child has a definite loss if he's not going to be paid in cash. Listen, I'm providing grinding services for you. The tenant is saying, I'm providing for the landlord grinding services. I will grind your grain, you'll grind all the grain, you'll sell it. Listen, ground grain is a commodity, and you're not losing anything. You have nothing to lose, and therefore you have to cooperate. So the Gemara says, we don't say El less at least this time. The tenant, if the tenant has more than enough people coming who want their ground, their grain ground, so it's not a problem. He could, it's kofen amid this time. Why does he have to grind the landlord's grain? Let him grind a stranger's grain, and therefore it's kofen amid this time, and we make him pay in cash. But on this, Taisus has a problem. Taisus says, I don't understand. Clearly, if we're telling the in the event that the tenant does not have someone else to, the tenant does not have enough grain to grind, and therefore he's going to suffer a loss if he has to pay cash, because he doesn't have cash. So the Gemara says, you know why we tell the landlord that he has to accept ground grain? Because he has what to do with the ground grain, right? We say, well, the tenant has what to lose, but the landlord has nothing to lose. Since the landlord has nothing to lose, because he could sell it. He could sell the ground grain. Let's say he can't sell the ground grain. It would seem that if the tenant has what to lose and the landlord has what to lose, then we're going to tell the tenant, too bad on you. It's only because the landlord has nothing to lose, because he himself could take the extra grain and sell it. But if he couldn't sell it, let's say there's nobody interested in buying his ground grain, then we would actually tell the tenant, yeah, you have to pay cash. So how can we compare that to the case of the Mishnah? In the case of the Mishnah, the two husbands, whether they're paying cash or whether they're paying food, it's not going to cost them anything out of their pockets. Whereas it makes no difference to them. It's going to, they have to pay for the food anyways. But over here, the guy who's grinding the grain, he doesn't have cash. All he has is the ability to ground grain. And therefore, how can we compare it? So Taisa says the following chiddush. That of course, we're not going to make the tenant, just like in the case of the Mishnah, we're not going to make the husband lose money that he doesn't have. He's paying the same amount of money either way. The tenant only has to pay ground grain. He does not have to pay cash. Absolutely, 100%. But the landlord could say like this, if I have what to do with the ground grain, then I have to accept the deal and I can't back out of the deal. But let's say I have nothing to do with the ground grain. Me, myself, I have ground grain and no one's interested in buying it. The landlord could tell the tenant, okay, you don't want to pay cash, can't force you to pay cash, but you're out of here. I'm backing out. The whole deal is off. I only rented it to you, Aldas, then I'm going to make money out of this, or I'm going to gain something from it. I have nothing to gain. I have ground grain. I have my own rechaim. I don't need your grinding. And therefore, I could kick him out. On the Rosh, on this Gemara, the Rosh says, what are you talking about? Seriously, Yoimei, Mamgo, when you rent something to somebody, it's a final deal, and there's no backsies. Either Gemara is busy giving the landlord eights is what he could do with the grain. It's l'rav chedemils. It's just a cherry on top. Of course, he can't back out. He made a deal. He's going to accept ground grain. He has to accept ground grain. He has nothing to do with the ground grain. Too bad on him. I'll give you an eitzah. You could sell the ground grain, but if you have nothing to do with it, that's too bad. It would seem that Taisus and the Rosh are each going to Shitasayu. That means that in a situation where we have a situation of Schiris, where the Schiris was already completed, and we made a deal, and now something new came up that the landlord has no need for the business deal any longer. He says, listen, the same way if his house falls down, he doesn't need it any longer. He can't afford to rent out the house. Or in this case, he no longer needs the ground grain, so he wants to back out from the deal. So Taisa says, yeah, listen, we have a schiris, an ongoing relationship. It's no longer for my benefit, this relationship. Of course I could back out. The Rosh says, schiris liyame memkehu, you can't back out. It's a final deal, and there's no way out of this relationship.
Why can't it just become a mechayev? I mean, it's mechayev, but why do you have to kick him out? Okay, it doesn't
matter now. The Nesiva says about schiris and about mecher that the assumption of rental is that I'm going to pay rent in a timely fashion, and if I'm not going to pay rent in a timely fashion, I have no interest in lending you my house until such time that you would be set up that you'd be able to pay me what you owe me. That's not the assumption of the rental. I'm not doing it for my health. I'm renting it because I need the money. Now, there is, however, a Taz who has a different pshat. Yeah, sorry.
If the house falls down, it's under your control. If you buy an animal to do the grain for you, you are kumbase by buying the grain. You're buying something which will affect
the... Who asked you to buy this animal? It's a pachad, and the Rosh really kind of words it like this. He says, who asked him to buy this animal? that I can't deal with this rental any longer. You're paying me ground grain. I can't deal with it. Who asked you to buy another Reichheim? So the Taz really addresses this, and I'm going to tell you a chiddush from the Taz that Baruch Hashem, we have a Taz that's megala to us, something that we would never have imagined on our own. But the Taz starts off, he makes a diak in the Gemara. The Gemara says, the man became wealthy, Yasser became wealthy, Zavin Rechaya v'chamra, and he bought a Rechayim and a donkey. He bought a Rechayim and a donkey. He has one Rechayim, now he bought another Rechayim. What's the donkey all about? So he says, there's two types of grain. There's two types of grinding grain. You could have hand ground grain or ground by machine, except the machine in those days was the donkey. The donkey would grind it. He says, when a donkey grinds grain, you can't compare the quality of the grain, of the grinding, the quality of the flour, when it's ground by a donkey, as when it's ground by hand. People grind by hand, they don't do such a great job. When it's ground by donkey, they ask. When a person becomes wealthy, he's not expected to eat the food of paupers. Poor people eat ground grain eaten by ground by hand. People who are wealthy, you're expecting him to eat the... He says, that's like an oinus. It's beyond his control. What his wife's going to say, you know, here he is, he's dressing in the finest clothing, they're living in a stately mansion, and they have butlers serving them, and they're feeding them hand ground grain, mishuga. It's not a way to live. So the Rosh, so Taz says as follows. He says, We have a Gemara that says like this. He brings a different Gemara, similar to the Gemara we mentioned before, that if a person had there was a drought, and he didn't have the grain was very expensive, and people couldn't afford to buy grain, and so he did was he went and he sold his fields to be able to raise capital, and after he sold his fields to raise capital, there was a delivery of grain, or there was it started raining, and all the grain started growing, and the price went down, and there was no longer a need for him to sell his property. So the halacha is like this. If at the time that he sold his property, he mentioned the fact that he needs money, he has to raise capital, so then he can be mevatel lemecher. If he didn't mention it, then he can't be mevatel lemecher. So he says like this, when the person mentioned at the time of the sale, at the time that he rented it, he said at the time he rented out the Rechayim, he said to the guy, listen, I'm renting it to you, so you should grind the grain of my family. My house. So then he mentioned that the reason he needed the grain ground was specifically for the needs of his family. When he becomes wealthy, he doesn't need it for his family, and therefore he has the right to be mevatel lemecher. Whereas, if he didn't mention it, then he would not be able to be mevatel lemecher. Now, this comes out a very... According to this Taz, he's saying that there's no machloikis, the Rosh and Taisis. Taisis, the Rosh wasn't going into, wasn't being nachis to this discussion. And he said, that's really pshat and Taisis. This, the Taisis says that the landlord could say, if he has nothing to do with the ground grain, he has the right to say, I'm out of here, you're out of here, get out of here, because I don't need you any longer, because he says it's only in a situation where he had mentioned that he's using it for his own personal needs, and it's no longer within his needs, and therefore there's an umdana. There's an umdana ktsas, and he mentioned that he doesn't that he only using it for his personal needs, doesn't need it, and therefore he can be mevatel the mecher, he can be mevatel the schiris. Now, it would come out, halach lemaisa, if you learn like Taisus himself, then it would be totally in Taisus in the Rosh. But if you learn like the Taz is saying everybody would agree to such a situation like this, comes out as follows. A person signs a rental agreement. Tenant tells the guy, okay, they sign a lease for 5 years, 2 years, whatever it is. And after 6 months, the fellow's shver comes over and he says, listen, I know you're renting a nice house, you're renting a nice apartment. I want to buy you a house. I'll put down a down payment for a house. You got to do it. You have 30 days to take me up on the offer. Otherwise, forget it. I'm going to offer this to the next sibling. So, Kiyai Gavna, he clearly mentioned he's renting it for a B'nai Besa. He's not renting it for a stranger. He's renting the house for his own personal needs. And now, he has an opportunity. For, you know, the Shemus HaDeshin says that a person doesn't rent a house if he has the opportunity to live it, to buy his own house. Because you rent the house, you get kicked out after 5 years, whatever. Like this is called permanent. So, Kiyai Gavna, who has an opportunity to buy a house, we would say, at least according to the Taz, possibly like Taisvis, then a person would be able to say, Kiyai Gavna never rented it, and therefore I'm not interested in retaining, he could break the lease. It would be an umdana, Kiyai Gavna would be able to break the lease.
Anymore?
The pretending would be able to break the lease, and it had. Any questions?
What is your name?
Avram Gottman.
Just to take that a step further, I mean, the logic that I have to extend it a bit would be that if the tenant found a cheaper lease, everyone could say, as long as the person buys or takes a lease at the best prices, you'd be able to break one of those conditions.
Okay.
Reasonable.
So there's two reasons why that's not true. First of all, it's not true. But the question is why it's not true. And when you negotiated the lease price, there's two reasons. We'll start off slowly. When you negotiated the lease price, you negotiated it based on the current conditions in the market. The reason that I was willing to give you this price was because, and the reason you were willing to take this price is because you understood tomorrow the prices might go up, tomorrow the prices might go down. Why were we locking in? Why did I agree to lock in at 1,000 instead of at 1,100? Or instead at 900? Because today the prices are 1,000. And I don't know, maybe the prices are going up. I don't know, maybe the prices are going down. And therefore we each took the risk. I said, no, I'm not lending it to you for 1,000 because maybe it's going to go up to 1,200 tomorrow. I'm not doing that. So he says, okay, but maybe it's going to go down to 800. So therefore we were each agreeing to the risk when we locked ourselves in. That was Alvas Kane, it was locked in. So you can't say it was something that came up that I wasn't expecting. Of course, we all know rentals fluctuate. But since it's something that we all know, and because I was taking a risk and you were taking a risk, we locked ourselves in. Whereas the fact that my shver came up with an idea to buy me a house, that wasn't something that was that it came in anybody's radar. Okay, well, that's nobody wants to address. Nobody wants to. Yeah, I'll pay you out. I'll move out and I'll pay.
Because you struck a lease, you should call someone else a damage, and now you can't break lease it at the same price as leasing it previously. That's very unfair.
I hear. Could be.
The Torah says that if the prices up, they change dramatically, it could be negotiated.
Yeah, but that's only if it's after the term of the lease, not within the term of the lease. And with the exception, if it's within in the winter, where I can't throw you out, only because I can't throw out because of the winter, then I could raise the price. But if I have a term of a year, 2 years, I can't break it. Okay.